Matthew 17, verses 1 through 8. Man, I got a message I want you to hear. Glad you're here. This is a great crowd because I'm going to tell you, we have another crowd, probably another 100 people or so out there in the land. So there's a lot of people here today, trust me. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Matthew chapter 17, verse 1. Good to see each one of you. Good to see those that just baptized and those that got saved. Several of them here today were glad about that. I know, I see Claudette and I see the other ones, folks. It's great. God bless you. I'd like to see those new converts growing in grace. Amen. Look at, I want to talk to you about don't miss what's coming. Don't miss what's coming. Boy, at the end, Brother Mark, you're going to come right out of your chair at the end of my message. You're going to see what I'm talking about on this verse. Look at chapter 17 of Matthew, verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, and his brother, and then bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. And look at verse 2. And he was transfigured. I get so excited I can't read. I know I'm going to preach. And boy, this is going to be good stuff, Maynard. Let me read verse 2 again. And was transfigured. You might want to circle that word. I'm going to talk about that. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, or it's Elias, but that's Elijah, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, is it good for us to be here? If thou wilt let us make it here there 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were so afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessed, precious, pure, inspired, perfect word of God. And Lord, I'm thankful for this transfiguration that Christ had. Lord, I'm looking forward to us having that too in the future. And Father, I just pray that you'll bless everyone that's here today. Lord, help me, empower me. Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Ghost, go up and down the aisles and move in each person's heart. And Lord, if lift up Christians' hearts today for the things of God. And if there be here that folks that's never trusted you, help them to know you as Lord and Savior. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We just read about the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. This record of Jesus being transfigured is recorded in 3 places in the New Testament. It's recorded in Matthew 17:2, Mark chapter 9, verse 2, and Luke chapter 9, verse 29. 3 times, 3 accounts of this transfiguration on the mount that he did before Peter, James, and John. 3 times it's recorded in the Word of God. And by the way, 3 is a divine number. Jesus raised on the 3rd day. Now let's think about this word transfigured. The Bible says there in verse 2 that Jesus was transfigured before them. You see that in verse 2? Literally, that word transfigured means that Jesus' body was changed. It was changed into another form. Listen, Jesus' body actually had a physical change. His literal body was altered from what it was. I want to read to you the descriptions again of this transfiguration of Christ. In Matthew 17:2, it says, you can read that. His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. In Mark chapter 9, verse 3, it says, his raiment became shining, exceedingly white as snow, so as no fire on earth can white them. In other words, we're talking about most brilliant white there is. And in Luke, the third time it's recorded, in Luke 9:29, and as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. In other words, Kenny, his physical appearance changed. His raiment was white and glistening. Man, look up here, folks. This transformation that Christ had, Jesus had a supernatural whiteness. He had a brilliant glow all about him. Now I want you to get this. This brightness, this glittering, this whiteness, this brilliant glowing glory that they saw, Peter, James, and John, get this now, was not caused from the falling of heavenly light from above. Remember the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9? Remember in verse 3, he was walking down the Damascus Road in Acts 9, and light fell down, and boy, Paul got saved. Remember that? But, Brother Brian, this ain't that light. You see, in Paul's case, Annie, that light fell from heaven. That light that came down on Paul was from above. Are you still with me? This splendor radiance around Jesus was not from above. Brother Mike, this brilliant light came from within. Not from above. It came from within. I was going to bring a flashlight. And I was going to, I got a brown bag out. And how many of you ever, like, even at Halloween, they glow thing, they put things. See, if you had, let's just pretend this is a flashlight. See, if I would want to flash down on this, the light would come down. But see, the light wasn't come down on Jesus like it did for Paul's salvation. That light that was coming, emitting from Christ, that glowing, that whiteness, Brother Billy, wasn't from above. It was literally coming from within. Jesus was glowing from within, not from without. How many are with me? I want you to see something. I'm making, and there's a reason for all this. That light was not coming from without. That light that they saw was coming from within. Peter, James, and John got to see Jesus in his transfigured, glorified body. Can anyone say amen? Amen. Now, what's that got to do with me, preacher? A whole lot. Because all born again, washed in the blood, children of God, you're going to have a body just like that one day. Amen. Listen, you're going to have a body like that just like Jesus. Listen, 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. How was he like? One thing about him, he was glowing. He was bright beyond brilliance. He was white beyond white. Kenny, when we get to heaven, we're going to have glorified bodies. We're going to glow. Whew. How many ever seen lightning bugs that light up at night? How many ever seen one of them? Buddy, we're not just going to off on. We're going to walk around with a glow. We're going to be emitting a glow 24 hours a day. And it's better than the diehard battery because it's going to be for eternity. Woo! You see, Jesus, Brother Billy, he's the light of the world, and he lights us up forever. Amen. That's why he calls us, in Ephesians, we're called the children of light. Amen. Because throughout all eternity, we're going to light up the skies. Can anyone say amen? Amen? Listen to me. Listen to me. Children of God, we're going to have a heavenly glow throughout all eternity. All through heaven, we're going to be glowing. Amen. Listen to this. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. And they that be wise. I know there were some wise men, and what did they do? They came to Jesus. See, people, even in 2009, wise men still come to Jesus. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars. What do the stars do? They glow. By the way, you know, I love that. They talk about the moon and stuff. You know, the moon and the stars, they always have a glow. You know, they don't glow. They don't get that glow from themselves. You know where they get their light from, don't you? From the sun. And guess where we're going to get our light? From the sun. S-O-N. Can anyone say amen? Amen. Romans 8:18 says this. For I reckon, you see, Paul was from the south. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glow. Dr. Brooke always said, make that glow. It's not glory. We're going to glow. Look up here, Christian. We're going to light up the skies. We're going to have radiant, glowing. We are going to glow. No wonder he tells us even in Matthew 5 why we're on earth. We're the light of the world. To let our light shine. Can anyone say amen? Amen. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. 1 Corinthians 15:53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And heavenly man, I'm gonna tell you. One of the big boys was looking at my suit today. He said, "Man, he can have it. I got a brand new one coming." Amen. Amen. How many going to get a brand new one from Jesus? Amen. And when we're going to get, David, we're going to have that Shekinah glory. Amen. Isn't that exciting? Amen. Folks, you don't understand this. We're going to be radiant constantly. Yep. You know, now we kind of shine a little bit for Jesus off and on. But in heaven, we're going to glow all the time. Amen. With no battery. With no battery lapse. Amen? Listen to this. By the way, how many are glad for that glow we're going to have? Yeah. Philippians 3:20 says this, Grandma. For our conversation is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. Amen. That it may be fashioned like unto us. Glorious body. Can anyone say amen? Amen? Woo! Glory to God. Listen to me. I want to tell you right now. I'm looking for that. The reason you ought to be excited about that transfiguration, Miss Diane, that transfiguration is exciting because Jesus has given us a preview of what we're going to have in the future. Amen. See, now the young kids won't know what preacher's talking about. But in the old days when preacher was a little kid like you went back, I was with Jefferson and Ben Franklin and all the rest of them. Soupy Sales and Jerry Lewis. And we used to go to the movies. I haven't been to one in 30 years now. They're not worth going to now. But when I was a little kid, you could go to them because they didn't have the filth and the evil. And Grandma and Sue and some of those old ones that folks know about my age, they know what I'm talking about. John and Betty know. See, we used to, in between the shows, they'd have what they call coming attractions. They'd have the music, and the music be playing. They'd say, "Oh, get this. Don't miss it. You can't miss it." And boy, you'd be all excited, and you couldn't wait till the next week for that flick to come because, man, you couldn't miss it. And they would just show you a couple little bits of the film to get your appetite tasted so you'd want it. Amen? And they'd call it coming attractions. Well, what this is in the Brother West, Jesus was giving Peter, James, and John some coming attractions. And it had a glowing report. And the review was brilliant and bright. Amen? Listen to me. Are you still in Matthew 17? Oh, this is so exciting. Stay with me. Don't lose that thought. How many are glad? By the way, you got to be born again, washed in the blood. Katie's singing about that blood. Just a few. If you're not washed in the blood, you're not going to get that glow. You're going to be in the darkness and forever of hell. wailing and gnashing of teeth. See, either you're children of darkness or children of light. You're either a child of God or you're a child of Satan. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either going to heaven or going to hell. There's only two places, heaven or hell. You're either saved or you're lost. You either got the hope of heaven or you got the hope of hell. And that's not hope. That's something that you want to be terror of. But I want you to see something. Look at Matthew 17:3. Look what he's got this transfiguration, Brother Mark. And then look what someone shows up and starts talking to him. And behold, there appeared unto him Moses. Man, he died thousands of years before and he's still alive. There must be something, there must be death. There must be life after death. It must not stop at the grave. That's why Jesus came, because he knew it didn't stop at the grave. Moses and Elias. Of course, when you take the word Elijah from the Hebrew and put it over in the New Testament Greek, it's Elias, but that's talking about Elijah. So Moses and Elijah were talking about with Jesus. See that? Since they were talking with him. Why he was in that transfiguration, why he was glowing. Are you with me? Why he had that, Annie? You were in the hospital this last week, but Annie, one day you ain't never going to be in the hospital because you're going to glow like the firmament of the star, amen? Annie, we're going to have brand new bodies. Forget Robinson. Forget the Cleveland Clinic. I'm glad we got them right now in Akron City. We don't have no hospitals in heaven. Why? Because we all got the touch. We all been touched by the master. The great physician, amen? Well, that's the power source. But they're talking to him. These Old Testament great prophets of God are talking to Jesus. Man, first of all, I'm pretty excited they're still around talking. But what summoned them up? What were they talking about? Well, the Bible tells you what they're talking about. Not in that passage. I'm going to give you two passages. I'm going to give you one now, one later. First of all, when you read in the book of Luke, in Luke 9:31, they were talking about Jesus' death at Calvary. And who the Bible says in Luke 9:31, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. They were talking to him about how he was going to die at Calvary's cross. They were talking about how he was going to take all the, and shed his blood, as they sang about. They were talking about how he was going to die and shed his blood for the sins of all mankind. And no doubt when they're talking about the crucifixion, you can't now just stop at the crucifixion, because if you just stop there, you got nothing. So no doubt they were also talking about the resurrection. So they were talking about his death, they were talking about his burial, and they're talking about his resurrection. At the end of the message, I'm going to give you another scripture in 2 Peter where they actually talk about his return too. You'll see what Peter says. Are you still with me? So they're talking about this coming event that hadn't taken place yet, but was going to take place shortly, about the crucifixion. By the way, I wonder why he just talked to those two, Ruthie. I wonder why. I wonder what they would have in common about dying in Jerusalem and coming up 3 days later. I wonder what they would have in common about that. Well, if you'll hold your hand there, Brother Kenny, and Matthew, don't lose Matthew 17, but look at Revelation chapter 11. I'm not telling you these guys are those two. In the middle of the tribulation, right after the rapture, there's going to be a 7-year period of the worst this world's ever going to see. And in the middle of that tribulation, which is coming soon, as soon as we're taken up out of here, as soon as they get that third temple built, and Jesus, you know, they're talking about building, aren't they, Mark? Mark just told me this morning they're talking about building it. I'm glad you told me about that, Mark. Amen. You're keyed in, Mark. Look at Revelation. Look at Revelation chapter 11, verse 3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, for they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. They're going to be preaching all during that trib. half of the trib, the first 3.5 years, these are two olive trees, two candlesticks standing before God on earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devour their enemies. Boy, I remember fire used to come down when people tried to come to Elijah, wasn't it? Yeah. And it was fire that came, a fiery tree, and devour the enemies. And if any man would hurt them, he must then this matter be killed. They have power to shut up heaven. That it rain not in the days of the prophecy. Boy, I remember, well, there in 1 Kings, a guy named Elijah prayed and stopped rain for 3.5 years. I don't know if that could be any, I don't know if that's a coincidence, or I don't know if that's just, but anyways, and have power over waters to turn them into blood. I remember a guy named Moses. My land's back in Pharaoh's day, Billy. Moses was turning that water into blood. And these two guys are talking to Jesus, too. I don't know. Anyways, and to smite the earth with all, and they shall have finished their testimony. Let me see that. And look at, and they make war, and they shall overcome them and kill them. They're going to be killed, these two witnesses. Now, I don't know if they're Moses or Elijah. I personally believe they are. But I don't know if, I can't tell you 100% sure, but I believe they are. But whoever they are, there's two witnesses. If you don't want to believe it's not Moses and Elijah, you can believe what you want. When we get to heaven, I'll tell you, you can say, you were right, preacher. It was them. But you don't have to be right all the time. And they're dead, but the Bible doesn't say who it is, so don't get in a fight over it. Two witnesses. I believe, though, it's Moses and Elijah, and I believe there's some, these scripture gives maybe even more light that it might be them. Can anyone say amen? But don't get, like, I'll fight you over the blood atonement. I'll stand firm on the eternal security of the believer. Justification, sanctification, glorification. But on some of these things that you don't actually know for sure, don't lose your religion over it. You know, Bible says those who want to be ignorant, let them be ignorant. Those who want to, so. Anyways, I hope you're getting what I'm trying to tell you. I don't know who the two are, but I think, Brother Mark, I don't know who the two are, but I think the two witnesses are Moses and Elijah. If you'll notice, they die, and then verse 10, and they dwell upon the earth, they rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts. Kind of like Christmas, you know. And because these two prophets, how could they see them over the world? Satellite TV, baby. Everybody's got it. Now it's high definition now. It'd be in high definition. And after 3 days, and boy, that's what happened to Jesus too. Spirit of God, life entered them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, just like we are. We're going up in a cloud, Tommy, in a rapture. So it's amazing. I think they were talking about, they were talking of Jesus about the crucifixion. They were talking about the death. They no doubt were talking about the resurrection. And they were no doubt, maybe he was even trying to give them a little insight of what was coming up for their future. Go back to Matthew 17. Can anyone say amen? So Moses and Elijah could be these two witnesses in Revelation 13, Revelation 11, 3-12. But, you know, it doesn't say. I'm just saying I believe it might be. But did you also notice in Matthew 17, 1? Another reason why I'm saying this, Annie. Did you notice in Matthew 17, 1, it says after 6 days? After 6 days. When you read the Bible, God's got, the reason, every word's there for a reason. After 6 days. After 6 days, he did the transfiguration. Why after 6 days did Jesus do the transfiguration? Yeah. But the sixth day. Listen to me, in the book of Peter it says 1 day, 2 Peter 3:8. 1 day is to the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years 1 day. Are you with me? Watch, listen to the preacher. See, I believe, and God made man on the sixth day. What's 1 day represent? 1,000 years, and 1,000 years 1 day? I personally believe that Jesus is trying to say, hello, I'm trying to give you a clue. When this transformation of for you is going to happen, this transfiguration, maybe after 6,000 years, the rapture. Watch, The Old Testament covers approximately 4,000, and Billy, we're about 2,000. Hey. Woo. I think we're getting ready for something to happen, Annie. I told Annie the other day, I said, Annie, I'm praying, Lord, let you live right to the rapture. I said, Annie, just hang in there. We're so close now. Why don't you just go up with the rest of us?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Take Mama right with us, Bill. Amen. Look up here. I believe he's teaching us, Kenny, about our brand new glorified bodies coming up in the rapture. Are you with me? Are you listening to the preacher? Oh, 6 days, 6,000 years, the rapture. Now, I don't know exactly when the time is. And by the way, don't buy no book because no one else does either. Just the Father knows. Then look at one more thing. I've got two more things, but look at in verse 4 and 5 in chapter 17 of Matthew. Peter asked God a question. He asked Jesus a question. Look at verse 4 and 5 of Matthew 17. Here Jesus has got that transfiguration. He's got his glorified body. Oh, and that body that they saw, they were going to have one just like it, and so are you if you're saved. But man, Peter's all shook up. I mean, Billy, we'd be shook up, Billy. I mean, here Jesus is glorified body, and he sees Moses and Elijah. And he knew who they were.
Yeah.
See, when we get to heaven, we're going to know people as we're known. 1 Corinthians 13:12. Are you still with me? Watch, well, look at this. I'm working on something. You'll see. Coolidge, you're going to shout when I give you this one. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, is it good for us to be here? Let me tell you something. I would be terrified. Listen, we're so worldly. If some spiritual thing happens, we'd say, oh, my lands. Wow, I don't know if I'm even supposed to be here, man. This is out of this world. Hello? Peter was just like us, Mike. Wow, I don't know if I'm even supposed to be here. This is on a higher plane than me.
Yeah.
Peter said unto Jesus, Lord, is it good for us to be here? If thou wilt let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he yet spake, in other words, the words were still coming out of his mouth. He got a reply from heaven. Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. In other words, don't worry about Moses. Don't worry about Elijah. They're just men. They ought to be saved just like you. Don't put your eyes on man. Put your eyes on him. He's the Savior of the world. How many are still with me? See, Jesus was saying, get your eyes off of man. What are you talking about building a tabernacle for Moses and Elijah? By the way, it didn't say Moses and Elijah was transfigurated. Just Jesus. Look up here. I really like Roy Thompson.
Amen.
We had some great talks with Brother Roy. First of all, he loves the Filipinos like I do. And he said a statement that I've always made a statement. He said there's no sweeter people on the earth than the Filipinos. And I believe that too.
Amen.
You're the sweetest people on the earth, the Filipino people. I was thinking, that boy back there dating, boy, you're lucky to have that little girl as a girlfriend. You mess up, boy, you're going to be in trouble. I'm going to get David after you. That's a big kid. Listen to me. He said, don't make nothing for Moses and Elijah. They're not God. Roy Thompson said, he never got excited about churches that got all excited promoting their preacher like a god.
Right.
Roy Thompson, He's just a humble man like Roy, like Dr. Bruce Cummings.
Amen.
Roy Thompson never liked, he said, "Preacher, I know you, I'm glad you said those things, but I don't like need to hear those things about me. So just brag on Jesus.
Amen.
Look up here. I want you to love me. I want you to pray for me. But don't put me up on a pedestal.
Amen.
There's only one that should be up there, Billy. That's our King of Kings.
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Don't worship this preacher. Worship Jesus.
Amen.
Are you still with me?
Amen.
There are so many churches. See what happens? If you start worship me, I can tell you wrong and you'll still follow me even though I'm telling you wrong. Look at verse 8, Dave. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Look up here. Love me. Pray for me. Help me do the work of God, but don't worship me. Worship Christ. We got people in fundamental Baptist churches today that are turning on this Bible because they're worshiping a preacher that's that head of their church. You got people following man. You got people following man and taking their eyes off Jesus. It says their eyes were only on Jesus. That's where God wants our eyes, only on Jesus. It's sad. And people are so, that's why you have the Jim Joneses. The sun, moons, all the false prophets. But we got false ones in our Baptist churches.
That's right.
And people are leaving the Word of God because they're following a man over the Word of God.
Yeah, right.
You know, I was reading in John. He said, they that worship me, over in John 4, says they that worship me must worship me. And the true worshipers, John 4. I'll probably preach that next week. I'm getting give them some thoughts about it. That's the book I'm reading right now. The true will worship God in spirit and in truth. Who's the author of this Bible? The Holy Spirit, God. Jesus said, Moses gave you the law, but grace and truth came by truth, Christ. How could you even worship God if you don't have the spirit and the truth? Hello? Isn't this good stuff?
Amen.
I'm almost getting closer. I love Pastor Dave, and God's. If anything ever happened to me, this man could take this church on right to the rapture.
Amen.
I don't plan on dying. I'm planning on taking you to the rapture, but if something happens, this man can take you all the way.
Amen.
But I want you to love him. I want you to pray for him, and I want you to thank God for him because he is a blessing from heaven. Him and Tammy.
Amen.
And so is Brother Mark and all the rest of the preachers I got with me. Are you with me?
Amen.
But don't you ever worship him. By the way, he don't want your worship. He doesn't want your worship. Man, we just want to serve the Savior.
Amen.
If we can get people's eyes on the Savior and just keep them on, just keep them focused on him. Look at that verse 8, Billy. It's so great. And they lift up their eyes and they saw no man. They saw no man. They saw no man. Save Jesus. Isaiah 2:22 says this, "Cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he be accounted of?" I can fail you. I can make mistakes. Jesus will never fail you.
Amen.
He'll never make a mistake. Amen? Then number 5, and this is the last one. Read, I want you all to look with me this last verse. Look at 2 Peter. Chapter 1 and verse 16. Well, I got two verses. This is going to put this whole message together, Mark. You preachers and teachers, here it is. Jack, I'm going to give you something right now that's teaching your Sunday school class. This is good stuff, man. I saw it when I was reading through the book of Luke. I saw this. I know I'm in Peter, but I'm coming back to Luke. And I know we're in Matthew. I'm all right. I know where I'm at. I might be a nut, but I'm screwed onto the right bolt. Amen? Look what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, Look in verse 16. Look what Peter said. For we have not, he's talking about this transfiguration that with Christ. We have not followed cunning devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, Brian, he makes sure you know who he's talking about. But we were eyewitnesses. What I'm preaching to you is what I saw. I saw it with my own eyes. I'm from Missouri, the show me state. I saw it with my own eyes. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Woohoo! He said, man, I know I got a new body coming. I saw it. I know he's gonna rise from the grave. I heard him tell it. I know he's coming back. I was there when they gave the plan to Moses and Elijah. Oh, man, I'm not making this stuff up. I was right there. I was on the end. I was, now get this, I'm working on the whole message right here. I was there. I was an eyewitness. Are you getting it? Watch. I was there. I was an eyewitness. Look at one more scripture with me in the book of Luke. Boy, Luke chapter 9. Oh, man. I'm having a blast reading through this New Testament. And I'm seeing things I never saw before. That, as many times I've read the Bible, I don't care how many times you read the Bible. You just keep going through. I'm 60 years old. I've read it over and over. And I saw another one. Look at chapter 9 in verse 32 of Luke. How many have got it? And this is my last verse. But Peter, remember, this is the transfiguration. Remember verse, and look at verse 29. He prayed and fasted, and countenance was altered. His raiment was white as glass. How many see it? It's a transfiguration. Peter, James, and John. Are you with me? And he, behold, they talked with Moses. How many see that? Look at verse 32. But Peter and they, the ones that were with them, Peter, James, and John, that were with them, were heavy with sleep. I never caught that, David. They were heavy with sleep. In other words, Brother Mark, they were sleeping. They almost missed out. My title of my message, don't miss out. How many are with me? They woke up just in time to see the manifestation and the glorification of God's glorified body in the transfiguration. They just woke up just in time. They almost missed it. It says they were heavy with sleep, and when they awake, hey, if they would have kept sleeping, they would have missed it. The title of the message is, don't miss it. Don't miss out. If they would have slept through, they would have missed out on that great event of seeing the Savior transfigurated right before their eyes. They would have missed out on that great spiritual blessing. They would have missed out on that great truth. Are you still with me now? They almost missed out. Wouldn't that have been terrible if they would have missed out on that tremendous blessing in their life? I wrote down, Christians, don't miss out. Keep Christ focused and the things of God focused. Don't fall asleep on God. Amen. Look here, especially right now because we're getting to the very end. And I'm not talking about my message, although I am there in my message too. Don't fall asleep Not now, Mike. Mike, he's ready to, the transfiguration is ready to happen. Brother Billy, it just like it appeared before their eyes, it's about ready to appear before our eyes. This is about ready to happen for you and I. Don't be asleep. Don't be asleep. Oh, you'll still go up and you're safe. But don't you don't want to miss these things that God wants to show you? How many Christians are asleep right now, missing out on great blessings and spiritual truths that they could be having if they weren't just sleeping on God? Don't miss out on seeing God work in people's lives. Today I see these girls that got baptized. Some of you didn't get to see it Wednesday. You missed out. It wasn't nothing we planned. It just happened. The Joneses, the one day I was sick, they joined. I'm thrilled they joined, by the way. But I missed out them seeing them come join. Although I was going to tell them, I want you to join. When are you going to join? I'm join. You're not right with God till you join this church. Get joined. Look up here. You need to stay awake for Christ.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? Christians, you better stay awake for Christ or you're going to miss out. Lost people. By the way, that's why you need to read through your New Testament. He's going to show you some truths like this.
Amen.
That he showed me. I've never preached this message in my entire life. In 40 years of preaching, I never did this, Billy. Pretty exciting.
Amen.
I'm glad I didn't miss out on it. I'm glad I wasn't asleep.
Amen.
They almost missed out. I wonder how many of you are going to miss out on some blessings because you're sleeping on God. And I'm talking more. I'm not just talking about laying your head on a pillow. I'm talking about spiritually.
Yep.
And lastly, lost person. Don't miss out on getting this glorified body. If you're here and you've never been saved, you're a fool if you don't get saved, because the Bible says only a fool doesn't set his heart there's no God.
Amen.
If you're today, you ought to get saved right now.
Amen.
Because I'm going to tell you something. If you don't get saved, you're going to miss out. You better wake up out of your sin and get saved today.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had. And Lord, I just pray and thank you for David. But Lord, you touched Brother David. He went through the whole sermon, and he's doing better now than when he was. And Lord, I just pray with all my heart. One day, Lord, he's going to have a brand new body, David's going to have. He's going to glow like the Messiah's glowing. Lord, I pray for Christians today that they'd get this truth. The transfiguration is about ready to happen. It's already happened for Jesus. It's about ready to happen for them. They need to wake up before it does. Oh, they'll still go to heaven if they're saved, but they're missing a whole lot of stuff before it. I pray they'll wake up and get on the right spiritual track. Pray they'll do what they're supposed to do. Pray they'll see things before the rapture happens. Lord, no doubt, even though Peter and James and John woke up, what all did they miss before they woke up?
Right.
What could they have seen and heard if they would have been awake all the time? Lord, I pray for these Christians and myself included that we'll be awake, that we won't miss out on what God wants to show us. And I pray for every lost person here, Lord, that's Their eyes are closed to the truth. And they need to wake up and see that Christ loves them and died just for them. And they need Christ. They need to see that Christ is the light of the world, that they need him to get to heaven. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many would say as a Christian, Pastor, I know for sure I'm saved. I know for sure I've trusted Christ my Savior. I know if I die, I'd go to heaven. Or if the rapture happens, I'm going to go up. Who can say it with the left hand? I know for sure I'm saved. I know I am. Raise your hand and say, I know for sure I'm saved. Thank you. May put them down. How many say, Preacher, I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure. I'm really not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm really not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Wake up today. I'm trying to wake you up before it happens. It's about ready to happen. Preacher, I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. And I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to die and go to hell. I don't want to miss out. I don't want to miss out on the splendor and glory of heaven. I don't want to end up in the lake of fire where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth forever and ever and ever. I want to take Jesus right now. I want to take Jesus right now. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Just raise. I won't come to you. I'll pray for you. Say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I won't embarrass you. I'll just pray for you. I promise you. Who'd say that? Just raise your hand. I'm not sure. Pray for me. How many Christians would say, preacher, I know for sure I'm saved, but I'll be honest with you. I've kind of been like Peter, James, and John. Lately, I've been kind of asleep for God. I need to get woke up to make sure I don't miss out on this the last time. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Yes, 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 sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, God, yes, ma'am. God bless you. I need, preacher, I don't want to, yes, ma'am, I see that. God bless you. I don't want to miss out. Yes, sir, God bless you. Some of you need to get baptized. Some of you need to get saved. Some of you need to join this church. I don't know, whatever God's put in your heart, why don't you do it? Don't miss out. Let's wake up. He's coming back. Let's get it all together. Time's running out. What did Peter, James, and John miss? They were fast asleep. I'm glad they woke up and they didn't miss it all. What did they miss? The title is Don't Miss Out. Are you missing out? Christian, are you missing out? Heavenly Father, help us not to miss out on the splendor and the glory of God. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.